back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Our mission is to bring you great interviews with preppers from around the world so you can be better informed and better prepared for everything from a hurricane to the end of the world as we know it.
KDArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the most affordable body armor period. With packages starting at $169.99 and free shipping on every order, KD offers soft armor and rifle threat rated armor up to level 4. Go to KDArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Mention this ad and receive a free tactical scarf for a limited time with any body armor package.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. We talk a lot about food storage on the Prepper Recon podcast, but just as important is knowing that you have a way to cook the food that you're storing. Sun Oven is a great way to cook with the energy of the sun, and they have a great deal for Prepper Recon podcast listeners. It's $80 off a deluxe package, which includes a turkey roasting rack, especially for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Just go to PrepperRecon.com and click the Sun Oven banner on the right-hand side of the homepage. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with James Wesley Rawls. Enjoy the show. And in Sweden, they still, despite the huge rape problem they've had with the refugees, they still, anybody that speaks out against it, they'll still call them Nazis. And it's horrific. And the Quran 8 says, "I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them." Do you think the folks that think Islam is a religion of peace, are they the equivalent of the Joel Osteens to Christianity?
I'm afraid they are. Unfortunately, we have people that are incredibly naive, and people are going to find that Islam is not the religion of peace. It is the religion of pieces, and I'm talking about body parts, like heads strewn here and there, or heads on posts, or, you know, decapitations and hands and feet cut off, for example. That it truly is the religion of pieces, not peace.
And Muhammad's youngest wife, Aisha, she was 6 years old. Do you think that people that are brought up as Muslims, do they have a responsibility to question whether God would choose a child molester as his primary spokesman?
Well, not when their whole culture is a culture of molestation. If you look at what's gone on, both homosexual molestation and heterosexual molestation is essentially the way that Islamic culture operates. That's considered a normal, healthy sexual outlet for an adult male is to be either a pederast and pursuing young boys, or marrying, quote, I should put that in parentheses, quote, marrying, unquote, little girls and molesting them. That, unfortunately, is more of a norm in that society than anything else. Yes, there are some Muslims that are, I guess you would call them more enlightened, more westernized, but they wouldn't think anything of someone marrying a 12 or 13-year-old. They might draw the line at 6 or 7-year-olds.
And so even the folks that might not necessarily take an AK-47 to the mall or strap on a vest the next time they go to the movie theater, these people could still be surreptitiously destroying our culture by molesting our children when they get into positions of power or working at schools or anything like that. Is that correct?
Sure. I believe so, and I think we'll see the rate of molestation go up correspondingly with the influx of Muslim refugees in this country. It's bound to happen.
And can you give us a little sneak peek inside your new book, Land of Promise, book one of the Counter-Caliphate Chronicles? What does the Muslim influence in America look like in the book, and what's the time frame? When is this occurring? At what point in the future?
Okay, it's the first book in the series is set in the late 2030s, and by then, the American government is kind of has their back to the wall, because not only has the mountain of debt, both public and private, come home to roost, which has pretty well wrecked the economy and destroyed the dollar as a currency unit. By the 2030s, I show America using a foreign currency as its circulating currency, and it's a fictitious currency unit that I refer to as the Neuro, which stands for New Euro. And under that currency regime, there is no printed paper currency at all, no coinage. Everyone carries cash cards, which are essentially like debit cards, and that brings with it a couple of new factors. One is that it makes it incredibly easy for the government to harass individual citizens. At any given time, any agency of government can zero out someone's debit card, essentially clean out their bank account in the blink of an eye, for any infraction of any kind of regulation, whether it's the EPA claiming that you accidentally polluted a pond or a stream, or whether it's Child Protective Services saying that you spank your children, or whether it's the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms claiming that you have you're in possession of an arsenal because you have more than 2,000 rounds of ammunition. That's the kind of world that it will be like for Americans domestically. And as I mentioned before, by the 2030s, I think that the United States might very well be blackmailed by the Islamic powers into submission simply for lack of oil. The threat of embargoes against the United States if we don't play along with Sharia law, with renditions for people who are said to be in violation of Sharia law, for rendition, it was commonly called extradition, of people who have been accused of insulting the Prophet Muhammad. That's the kind of world I think we might be living in by the 2030s. And that's why I think it's very important that people plan ahead and work together to set up Christian nations of refuge. And that's the other theme of the novel, is the establishment of a Christian homeland nation, a lot like Israel. I fictitiously showed it being located in a kind of desolate region of East Africa that basically nobody wants, and where a couple of friendly governments that have Christian leaders basically grant sovereignty of a piece of land that's disputed on the border between South Sudan and Kenya. It's in a region that's called the Ilemi Triangle. That's spelled I-L-E-M-I, if your listeners want to take a look. I don't know where there's going to be a Christian homeland nation formed. I fictionally showed it being in East Africa, but one or more of them needs to be formed soon, because the Islamic caliphate is only going to grow stronger with every passing year. The persecution of Christians is only going to get worse with each passing year. And the number of people who are going to be forced into refugee status and who will either need a place to go or a passport to carry is going to increase dramatically. And this fictional Ilemi Republic, as I call it, is there for two reasons. First and foremost, to issue passports so people can get out of Islamic countries. And even today, a lot of people cannot leave. They can't even become refugees if they want to, because they can't cross national borders, because they lack passports, and as Christians, the Islamic governments refuse to issue them passports. And secondarily, there needs to be a physical nation of refuge where people can go to start a new life, and that's what I portray in the novel.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
What are some of the things that we can do to prepare for violence from the hordes of Islamic extremists already in our country?
Well, I think most importantly, every family needs to be well prepared and as self-sufficient as possible. As I mentioned earlier in this interview, I think some of the key targets are not going to be just terror targets where they're out to blow people up or lop heads off. I think the targets are going to be infrastructure targets. And if that happens, we could see natural gas pipelines disrupted. We could see the power grids go down for extended periods of time. And we could also see disruption of civic water supplies, food supplies, and so forth. So it's really important that just like traditional survivalist preparation, that every family be well prepared and as self-sufficient as possible. You need to be energy self-sufficient. You need to be food self-sufficient, water self-sufficient, and communication self-sufficient. And of course, you never know when, even though statistically the chances are quite low, you never know when terrorism is going to come right to your doorstep. So you also need to be physically well prepared as well for self-defense.
And Trump's poll numbers have just surged since the attacks in Paris and Mali. I'm not really a huge fan of his, but I think I'd probably vote for Darth Vader over Hillary or Bernie. Do you think his 20-point lead is sustainable?
Well, unfortunately, I think the American media, the leftist, statist, corporatist mass media, the mainstream media, is basically holding back on any attacks on Donald Trump until after he gets the nomination. And then we're going to hear nothing but a litany of Donald Trump stories in the news. I think the mass media is going to do their best to sensationalize every tidbit that they can find about Donald Trump, his personal life, his business dealings. Everything about him will probably be called into question. And if you think the media is being hard on Ben Carson right now, just wait till they unleash their wrath on Donald Trump. And meanwhile, they're going to continue to soft pedal all of the ills and errors of Hillary Clinton. So unfortunately, I think that at this point, the mass media is intentionally holding back on any attacks on Donald Trump until after he gets the nomination, until they have a race between two individuals, and I think we already know who they want to be in the White House. And once the race is narrowed to just two candidates, hell hath no fury. It's going to be open season on Donald Trump.
And to get on a little bit lighter subject than all the stuff we've been talking about, several states like South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois have already been hit by massive snowfall. Have you finished all of your pre-winter preparations?
It's funny you should say that, because just before this call, I was out finishing burning some slash and moving some manure. Basically, our last chance to move manure before the ground freezes solid here. Yeah, I'm pretty well squared away. I always keep a 2 or 3 year supply of firewood on hand, and that's always our biggest concern in the winter. If there's power failures, we have hand pumps here. We have two shallow wells in addition to our main well that have pitcher type hand pumps on them, so we can fill our stock tanks for our livestock and have water for our house. We're pretty well squared away here, and I encourage your listeners to be extra prepared this winter, because you never know when there could be a terrorist attack that could bring down the power grids. There's actually three grids in the United States, an eastern grid, a western grid, and a Texas grid. If any of those grids go down for an extended period of time, we could see a huge, huge disruption economically and even loss of life if it goes on more than a week or two. So it's really important that families be well prepared. So stock up, folks. You need to have all your fuel on hand. You need to have a copious supply of firewood or coal, depending on what you burn. And if you do not yet own a wood-burning stove or a coal-burning stove, you are behind the power curve.
And Noah says this winter could have some really heavy snowstorms thanks to El Nino. One of the things we've seen a lot in the past is people keeling over from heart attacks because, you know, they haven't been to the gym, they haven't done anything since the last snowstorm. And, you know, last year people had to get up on top of their roofs and shovel the snow off their roofs. You can't do that with a snowblower or a snowplow because the whole thing was that their roofs were going to cave in if they didn't get the snow off of it. So you kind of have to do that manually with the shovel. Do you recommend
folks? Right, it's important that people be in really good shape, yes. It's crucial that people have good physical fitness, that they adjust their diets, and that they, in every way possible, try to make themselves physically fit.
And what are the minimum items that folks should keep in their cars in case they get stranded in a snowdrift?
Well, it's important that you have a sleeping bag for each adult in the car, and you could always double if you have good sized sleeping bags. You can always double up with kids. It's important that you have a good pair of winter hiking boots and a good heavy jacket, gloves, and a pile cap for everyone in your vehicle. And it's also important that you have some high-energy food, things like just even candy bars will work, but things like power bars or Clif bars, for example, are good things that store fairly well, at least in cool weather. And you want to, carry some water. But of course, if you're in a commuting situation and you don't keep your car in a heated garage, you'll have to bring that water container in each night so it doesn't freeze solid.
And then, if you forget to do that and you get stuck and you've got frozen water, do you have any good courses of action to get drinking water or thaw that out?
Well, yeah, you could, of course. Put that container, assuming you use something like a metal canteen, you can put that right on your engine block before your engine block cools down, and that will melt at least part of that ice, so you'll have some drinking water.
Do you have any recommendations for folks that might get stuck in their vehicle in a snowdrift and it's still snowing? Do you have any recommendations of how they could leave a marker to let rescue crews know where they are if they need assistance?
Well, yeah. One good method is as long as you have you don't even have to have an engine running, but as long as you've got battery power, you can flip your windshield wipers out into the extended position, which is the position they're normally in when you would be manually wiping your windshield. And you can hang a piece of cloth, preferably a bright color cloth like Optic Orange, like the panels that I usually keep here at our ranch that we use during deer season. To mark our pets, you can hang one of those from a windshield wiper to mark your car. And if you just hit your windshield wiper button once in a while, that will wag that piece of cloth back and forth, keeping it clear of or partially clear of snow and a lot more obvious to people. It's also important that if you slide off the road or stuck in a snowbank, if you're going to run your engine of your car, it's really important that you keep your tailpipe clear. You're going to have to go out once every hour or two and shovel the snow away from your tailpipe because you don't want to asphyxiate yourself.
Jim, thanks so much for taking time to come on the show today. And we're going to have links in today's show for folks to get to Survival Blog. And what's the best place for folks to go if they want to buy Land of Promise, the Counter-Caliphate Chronicles?
Yes, it's available both as an ebook, as a Kindle book, and as a trade paperback book at Amazon.com. Just go to Amazon.com and type in Land of Promise, and it'll come right up.
Jim, thanks again so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me on, Mark. God bless.
In the Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition. A global empire arises like a phoenix from the ashes of the world that was. The emerging order is unified by a new global currency and a single world religion, which are mandated by an imposed UN treaty. In the interest of unity and peace, a zero-tolerance policy for dissenters is enacted and strictly enforced. Hunted down like common criminals for daring to resist the state, Noah Parker's group will have to rely on faith and wits to endure the powers of darkness which are quickly consuming the earth. Buy your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.